When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:13-16. And now it's time for Who Do You Say I Am with Father Mitch Pacwa. And now, Father Pacwa.
Peace of God be with you. I'm Father Mitchell Pacwa, and we're taking a look at the New Age movement and some of its basic assumptions and what conclusions New Agers draw from it and how they affect us. We've already looked at the paradigm shifts. Now, by paradigm, we mean the way of looking at reality, the key structures that one has for understanding the world, God, and everything that exists, and our own experience. And then, we've seen how a lot of New Agers want to see the paradigm shift. They use physics as a way to say that the world is not the way we once thought. It's not the Western idea that everything is clear under real careful laws, that you can always determine ahead of time and predict science, but rather things are loose and uncertain and unpredictable and complementary and holistic. And then we also took a look at the research on the brain and how some New Agers take research on the two hemispheres of the brain and see them as split down the middle, and that we have to get more right-sided and more less left-sided. The reason for that is they'll say that the left side of the brain is where we do reason and speech, logic, and linear thinking, putting things in a line. Whereas on the right side of the brain, we have the yin principle, the feminine principle, where we see things as whole, integrated, intuitive, artistic, and so on. Now, one of the things that I've become more and more concerned about with that division of the brain and the emphasis on that division into two parts is something we mentioned in our last episode, that we see that some New Agers, not all of them, but some of them, would like us to move away from reason over to intuition, move from the left side of the brain to the right side, and see that the left side is the enemy of the right. The left side puts limits and sets limits to the way we think and the way we intuit, actually, and sets limits to our possibilities, sets limits to what we can do and control and the power that we can have in the world and the way we can see things. It sets limits to our creativity. Now, there is a certain amount of truth to that. If you think about some things too much, you can't draw them as well, for instance. And if you try to analyze some things too much, from that reasoning side of the brain, then you miss some aspects of the whole picture. There's a certain amount of truth to that. I don't want to deny that. But at the same time, we have to realize that the two sides of the brain cooperate. In fact, we also have to realize that unless people were using the left side of their brain where speech takes place, they, A, could not understand that there are two sides of the brain, from those who do brain research. B, they couldn't explain it to you and me. And C, they couldn't write books about it. They used the left side of their brain to tell us about the right side of the brain and analyze the two sides of the brain. So we have to keep that very clearly in mind. Something else that we also have to be very, very careful about is that if you focus so much on the right side of the brain and ignore the left, then it becomes impossible for humans to communicate with each other, because the left side of the brain is where we think and speak. Then no longer could we communicate and talk about our experiences. And in the next part of it that is also very much a concern for me, is that if the left side of the brain where we do thinking and reasoning is no longer to be trusted, and that only the intuitive side is to be trusted, as some New Agers would have us believe, then we become more and more isolated. My experience is the norm of reality. My intuition is what's true. And I cannot prove or disprove the intuition, because proof is something that requires logic and speech. And logic and speech take place on the left side of the brain. And if the left side of the brain is to be neglected, and only the right side emphasized, then I can't prove or disprove anything. This leads us to the possibility that I have my own reality and you have your reality and everybody else has their own reality and will never share reality. Do you see the problem that that gets into? And how it'll mean the complete breakdown of society. Well, on one hand, the real goal behind the New Age movement is to have us become united and work together and cooperate and see the whole and that we're all part of the whole. In fact, the concrete result of focusing on the right side of the brain will push us to the point of becoming individualistic and what we call solipsistic. That is, I deal only with a solipsistic worldview, a worldview that is my own world, my own reality and only my reality. Now, I find that to be quite frightening, just from the point of view of society and reason and science. It makes science impossible to pursue, because you shouldn't be using reason and logic anymore if you push the right brain, left brain too far. But there are still further dangers that I find in the literature by the New Age movement. And that comes from the ways they suggest that we move from the left brain with its reasoning and logic over to the right brain. Let's take a look at some of the literature for some examples. Marilyn Ferguson, a name that we've quoted many times because her book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, is one of the key books of the New Age movement. And she says, and I quote here, "The revolution of the 1960s had planted the seeds of apocalypse. The psychedelic drugs, however abused, had given a visionary experience of self-transcendence to a sufficient number of individuals so that they might well determine the future of human development. Not a utopia, but a collectively altered state of consciousness." Now, she, as I do and many other people who are in favor and critical of the New Age movement, look back to the 1960s as a time when this change in consciousness started to develop. And I agree with her that a lot of it had to do with psychedelic drugs. That this was a way where people began to change the way they think and approach reality and see themselves going beyond their own limits. We're going to come back in just a moment to see what influence the psychedelic drugs might have had on this left brain, right brain approach towards human reality. So please stay with us. Welcome back. We've been taking a look at some of the problems with this division between right brain, left brain, and how the prominence of the right brain has so influenced people that they want to see that the right brain, the intuitive side, should dominate. And then people want to say, how do I get to the right brain? How do I get to this intuitive side of me? Well, Marilyn Ferguson, as we already said, looks back to the 1960s. When drugs became part of the focus. And we see this also going on with many people in the consciousness change of the 1960s. I recently read a biography of Alan Watts, who had been an Episcopalian priest, and as one part of his career, he didn't really believe in it a whole lot. He was more interested in Zen and in Buddhism, and studied that and became a priest looking for a way to deal with the spiritual and address Western people. But he left that after he had a series of scandals in his own life. And as time went on, he introduced a lot of people in California and other places to the study of Zen and forms of mysticism, and worked with this throughout the 50s. But in the 1960s, you see that he and other people started to use hallucinogenic drugs like LSD. And people like Timothy Leary, who was a professor at Harvard University, another professor named Alpert, also used the LSD. And they encouraged their students to use it. And many of the students did. And there were psychologists who were doing experiments on the students, but also sharing in the experiments. Now, this became part of the New Age mentality, that you not only study experiments, you participate in them, and you are changed by the experiment. And they came up with the idea that you tune in to their reality, you turn on to drugs, and you drop out of society with a new consciousness. And this idea of gaining a new state of consciousness was a big part of the 1960s counterculture movement. Now, Marilyn Ferguson refers to this in a number of places in her book, Aquarian Conspiracy. Let me give a quotation. This is a long quote that I'd like to at least take a look at parts of it. She says, "For a great many, the trigger has been the intense alternate reality generated by a psychedelic drug." So this for her becomes an entry point into the New Age mentality, to use a psychedelic drug. "It is impossible to overestimate the historic role of psychedelics as an entry point, drawing people into other transformative technologies." Now, what she means by transformative technologies are those different techniques or activities that help change you from left brain to right brain into a new age consciousness, to see the whole, to see that everything is God, and so on. "For tens of thousands of left-brained engineers, chemists, psychologists, and medical students who never before understood their more spontaneous, imaginative, right-brained brethren, the drugs were a pass to Xanadu, especially in the 1960s. Xanadu refers to a poem by the Transcendentalists, I believe Coleridge, back in the 1800s. Coleridge himself was addicted to drugs, opium, as I recall, and he had a poem about that he wrote in relationship to one of his trips, and it was of this great city, Xanadu, which has all these marvels in it. Well, she's saying that a lot of left-brain people who thought were psychologists, medical students, and engineers, and so on, shifted into a right-brain Xanadu, or a place that is a utopia, that is a place that is a magnificent city, a great place, a great state of consciousness, through drugs. She goes on to say, "Changes in brain chemistry triggered by psychedelics caused the familiar world to metamorphose." Now, in other words, the psychedelic drugs actually change your brain chemistry, and it's the way that your synapses work. As a matter of fact, so much so, I have a friend of mine who had used psychedelic drugs, LSD, and 8 years later was having flashbacks, that the synapses in his nervous system had so been altered that for years later, at least 8 years, and I haven't seen him in a few years about this, but for at least 8 years he would have flashbacks to those early trips on LSD. "But this causes the world to metamorphose, that is to change. It gives way to rapid imagery, unaccustomed depths of visual perception and hearing, a flood of new knowledge that seems at once very old, a poignant primal memory." In other words, all of a sudden during a trip, all sorts of images rush in and it seems deeper, colors seem brighter, and so on. And people say, aha, this is like an old image. I remember seeing the movie Altered States, in which a man takes these mushrooms, a mixture of mushrooms that are used for psychedelics, and that goes into a tank, a flotation tank, where he's deprived of senses and experiences himself becoming like a caveman. In other words, they experience themselves going back to primal roots. Now, this is in their imagination. It's in their head. It's not in reality, but they feel that it's reality as a result of the drugs. Unlike the mental states produced by dreaming or drinking, psychedelic awareness is not fuzzy, but many more times intense than normal waking consciousness. That's the result of it. It feels more intense. See, when people get drunk on booze, they just sort of get sloppy and their thinking gets blurred. Not so with psychedelics. It intensifies the experience. And because of that, Alan Watts, Timothy Leary, and others said that this was a state of Satori. And others said that this was a state of enlightenment. Satori is a term that means enlightenment from Buddhism. And it's a state of becoming totally aware of reality and more deeply. Only through, and I'm quoting again from Ferguson, only through this intensely altered state did some become fully aware of the role of consciousness in creating their everyday reality. Now look at the jump that was made. She then says that the experience of drugs helps you to understand that you make reality, you create it. It's not just that you live within reality that you're relating to, but whatever you say is true becomes true. Just as the drugs make you create a different vision of the world, this, you know, you actually are the one who creates the world. She says, LSD gave a whole generation a religious experience. Now, she's also critical of chemicals and LSD. She also mentioned, and I really want to be fair to her, that she realized that these drugs could be abused and were abused. That chemical satori is perishable. Its effects too overwhelming to integrate into everyday life. So she realized that, but she also says it was a starting point for many other things. We're going to come back in just a moment to continue to see what other New Agers have said about the use of drugs. So please stay with us. Talking about this radical separation that some New Agers, not all of them, but some of them, make between right brain and left brain, and how primacy is given to the right side of the brain as being intuitive, looking at the whole world, and then how it's described that some people made that transition from the left side over to the right, how they got beyond reason and moved over to the right side of the brain. And that, as Marilyn Ferguson and Alan Watts and many others have described, LSD and magic mushrooms, as they were called, or peyote buttons, and other hallucinogenic drugs, became a way to make that transition, a way to blow your mind so that you don't just stay stuck in this left side, but get into the right side and see that as primary and just go with your intuition, go with your feelings, instead of with your left brain. But we also saw that even New Agers see the limits of this. And in general, New Agers do not approve of drugs like cocaine, and they don't approve of alcoholism, and they don't approve of addictive drugs. For them, we really have to be very clear about this. For the most part, they are interested in hallucinogenic drugs like LSD or magic mushroom, peyote, or even sometimes hashish and marijuana as ways to alter your view of life and give a different consciousness. As a matter of fact, I'd have to say that when I was in college in the 60s and early 70s, I did the same thing. You know, taking hashish was just part of the culture. Smoking marijuana was part of the culture. I thank God I didn't do harder drugs than that. I was just plain afraid of it. Because by the time I was in college, it was something that had been shown to be pretty scary. for the most part, and I was too scared of it. But it did help change the way I thought. As a matter of fact, one of the things I would have to say at this point is that while I was smoking marijuana in college, I had stopped my own Christian prayer. I didn't meditate on the Gospels anymore. Prior to that, I had. And that I, as a matter of fact, I didn't notice the change myself until I looked at my own private journal. And as I saw the transition, you know, there was a one point I was, you know, having an imaginative, you know, use in prayer. I would picture Christ. I would picture the apostles. I would picture the scenes of the Gospels. I would relate to the Lord. I would try to carry on a close personal conversation with the Lord and have a relationship that, you know, went back and forth. And I really would trust the Holy Spirit to guide my prayer. But after I had stopped using marijuana, which was for a period of a year and a half or so, I looked back at my journal and could see I stopped praying in that same period and was seeking an alternate state of consciousness. And I think that that really, I know that it really hurt a lot of aspects of my whole relationship with Christ. And I think that it continues to hurt people's relationship to Christ and focuses them on different ways of dealing with spirituality, plus having other negative effects on people in terms of flashbacks if they use LSD and other drugs and so on. So, as we see, again, to quote from Marilyn Ferguson, she's critical of using drugs on a continued basis because what it does is get a person to, you know, focus on the drug experience as something too intense, that she needs to have something that is more controlled. She says, non-drug psychotechnologies offer a controlled, and she emphasizes the word controlled, sustained movement toward that spacious reality. So this is what she sees as a goal. Maybe you'll get started with LSD. Maybe you begin with some of the use of hallucinogenic drugs, but you need to move away from it to something that's more controlled and more sustained. Again, a quote from the Aquarian Conspiracy. The annals of the Aquarian Conspiracy are full of accounts of passages. LSD to Zen. LSD to India. Psilocybin, that is magic mushrooms, psilocybin to psychosynthesis. And that's the transition that she would make. What she doesn't mention is that for a lot of people, it was starting off with Zen and going to LSD. And starting off with Hinduism and going to other drugs. Starting off with a desire for prayer and moving into magic mushrooms. But she saw that for most Aquarian conspirators, that is people who are into the New Age movement, so she calls them Aquarian conspirators, that it's a move into these other forms of meditation. We see this also with someone like Sandra Ray. Sandra Ray, who helped found a movement called Rebirthing, which has, you know, helped, or at least, you know, had a lot more than a million people become adherents of it. She says that she began her search for the recognition of higher consciousness through politics, through socio-political consciousness, she says, and consciousness raising as a feminist. In another place in a book that she wrote called Rebirthing, she wrote that with Leonard Orr, she says, the Bay Area was the perfect place for a young housewife to discover her divinity. That's how she starts off. Between the autumn of 1969 and June of 1973, she started off as a Sunday school teacher, then went to a Christian philosophy class, then did Tai Chi, Do In, women's consciousness raising, Esalen, Rolfing, becoming a psychic healer, daily meditation, Erica training, which is from Sufism and the Enneagram, and LSD. She had used all of these different things among the peak, as peak experiences that helped her get into this new way of consciousness. And there becomes a continuity between the use of hallucinogenic drugs like LSD and meditation. The experience becomes one of intensely seeing reality and seeing reality from new perspectives. And also, this is one of the things I find very interesting in the whole development of the use of drugs and meditation and all the techniques, what they call psychotechnologies, is that people who share in them begin to see the limits of the personality dissolve. They see themselves becoming one with reality around them, and that their own personality begins to dissolve, and that the where I begin and end becomes fuzzy and blurred and even non-existent. This starts off for many of them with LSD and other hallucinogenics, but also continues for them with various forms of meditation and various new age psychotechnologies. Now, we're going to investigate a lot of these psychotechnologies in future episodes. We're going to talk about channeling and the use of crystals, like we have here some crystals growing on our set to show how these affect, and many other psychotechnologies, EST and so on. But for us, now what is to be our response to this? Christ calls us to union. And he calls us to union with himself. But at the same time, this union with him is going to keep us as who we are. My personality remains. As a matter of fact, he says that I'll be raised from the dead and you'll be raised from the dead. And the personality that I have will not dissolve. And I don't need drugs to try to dissolve my personality or yours. And I don't need meditation techniques that dissolve the limits of who I am. But rather, Christ will raise me from the dead and keep me in love with him. That's the future that we look forward to. God bless you.